So you may have noticed a couple of props this morning. You know, it's me. I don't know when I like to use them, but every one of these represents a hurdle, an obstacle, a challenge that you and I are facing along the way. And obstacles are a common occurrence every day in our walk, every day in our life. Things get in our way, and they block us from running the race. They block us from being able to keep going. You know, we are reminded in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, this verse we've been encouraging to memorize, to look at. We've been looking at it every week. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entangles it. Let us run with endurance. The NIV says, with perseverance, the race that is set out for us. And it's so important that we look at that and understand what that's all about. This idea, the word race literally is, you may have saw it in the video, is the word agon, which literally is where we get our word agony. And I don't know about you, but there's a reason why I was never a long-distance runner. I know we have several that are in this room. There's a reason, because it's just too much agony for me. I mean, I was a sprinter. After the first 100 yards, 100 meters, it was like, I'm done. Okay, that's all the farther I really wanted to run. That was it. But, you know, there are those that just love to run that marathon. They love to run that half marathon. They love to keep going. Courtney ran a half marathon this week, and she's loving every moment of her life right now. She just ran it this week. And I want you to think about it. It's so interesting in our lives, because things get in our way, don't they? They block us. And somehow along the line, those things that block us stop us from living the life we've been called to live. A few years ago, my sister asked me to... She called and said, hey, do you want to run this race with me? I says, I don't know. I said, sis, I'm never a long-distance runner. Is it like a 3K? You know, I'll do something really, really short. And she goes, no, it's a 5K to 7K. She goes, depends on which one we choose. She goes, and there's obstacles along the way. You may have heard it. It's the Tough Mudder. And I was like, wait a minute. I have to run and do stuff? I mean, one thing or the other is fine, but not both. I'm not going to do it. And literally, if you saw Kyle's video, he talked about, like, every quarter of a mile, there's something else to do. Amber, when she first moved to Florida, had talked to us about, she was in the Spartan Dash. And when she said it was a dash, I didn't realize what it was. Literally, they worked together with her CrossFit team, and they finished this race. But one of those was Tampa Bay Stadium. They had to run to the top of the stadium and do all the stairs. And along each section of the stairs, there was another obstacle complete before they went higher and higher and higher. And I went, what, are you nuts? I mean, there's just no reason. Why? Well, to prove I can do it. Why? I can look up. I can see the top. That's all I need to do. And that's all you really need to think about. But think about life. When those obstacles come, how do we face them? So many times people look at the Christian life as they look at it as it's a fun run. Well, I've accepted Jesus, so nothing bad should ever happen. I should be able to cruise through life. It should be a joyride, and it's not, because obstacles still get in our way each and every day. This morning's message is going to be a little different than the ones in the past. We're going to walk back into the life of the Old Testament character Nehemiah, and I want to kind of walk through some of the obstacles that he faced as he was trying to complete this task that God had put before him, as he was trying to go back and rebuild the wall. Now, many of you may understand, and you may know, if you remember from your Old Testament history, that here he was in the midst of everything. There was exile had happened. The Babylonians had conquered Jerusalem. They had pretty much torn it down. They had destroyed the walls. They had burnt the gates. And everything that he had known of his hometown was destroyed. Now listen, this was a long time before his life. It was a long time before anything had happened. And he had studied, he had researched, and in his mind he envisioned everything that Jerusalem was supposed to look like, the beauty and the majesty of this incredible holy city, and everything that he imagined was torn down. And as we walk through his life, we see these words. In Nehemiah 1:4, he says, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and I fasted and I prayed before the God of heaven. Listen, he is emotionally distraught. He is destroyed because he had heard of what had happened to his great city. And he wanted to do something about it. And literally, as he talked about mourning, I'm sure he was sitting in sackcloth and in ashes, and he was in despair, in anguish, as we know. And as he's sharing this, and he's trying to think, what can I do? For several days, he sat down and wept. And I want you to think about it. How many times do we go through a trial or tragedy and we want to say this 30-second prayer and instantly we think that all our worries are gone because I prayed about it? Several days he prayed. And it wasn't like he probably stopped in between. For a long time he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. And he tried to overcome. And all of a sudden he realized there was something he has to do. Something, I need to do something. And he doesn't know what that looks like. And one of the obstacles that we face, you may have seen it in the video, was Kyle talks about this idea, it's the obstacle of indifference. Now Nehemiah could have said, listen, Jerusalem's 1,000 miles away. What does it mean to me? After all, I don't know that I can do anything about it. After all, no one else is doing anything anyways. Now, psychologists have a term for this. They call it the bystander effect in things in life today. In other words, you see something happen, and instead of jumping in and helping out, you want to stand back and not do anything. You just want to be a bystander. Matter of fact, today, what we have a tendency is to pull our cell phones out, and we want to video it. Oh, look at this horrible thing that's happened. Let me post this on YouTube. I won't do anything about it, but I'll post it. The bystander effect. Somebody else will do it. Let somebody else deal with it. I don't want to get involved. And that's the very first thing Nehemiah could have said was, hey, I don't want to get involved. I don't want to be in the middle of it. And I wonder how many times in our faith we kind of have that same approach. We've got a new neighbor that moves in. Hey, somebody else will go say hi to them. I'm bashful. I'm an introvert. I'm not really outgoing. I don't want to go talk to them. Or maybe, I know somebody's going through a trial or trouble. Maybe I should go over and sit down and talk to them. Talk to them a little bit about my faith. Well, somebody else will do that. You know, we've got elders. They can do that. We got a paid preacher. They can do that. That's their job. That's their responsibility. And we want to pawn things off on other people, things that you and I can do ourselves. And there has to become a point in our life that we have to overcome our apathy to say, I don't want to do anything. I just want to sit back and watch and instead get in the game, to get in the race. Kyle says one of the things, the biggest thing about indifference is the thing that will stop you before you even get in. If you never sign up for a race, you'll never get in the race. So there has to be a point in time when you make the decision, I'm all in, and I'm going to do what I need to do. Fascinating enough, you know, we can talk about obstacles, and, you know, obviously if I said, hey, I'm going to go through this tunnel, it's a tight squeeze. I mean, and I'm not going to try because you all laugh way too much, okay? But the idea is what? There are times in a life that if we want to have to go through a tunnel, we may get part of the way in and go, uh-oh, I'm stuck. It's dark. I'm not sure where to go. And the instant thing is, what do you want to do? You want to back out, don't you? You want to go back where you know that it's safe, but you know that something's on the other end. This obstacle is in your way. Are you going to fight through it? Are you going to endure through it? Are you going to persist and get to the other end? Because what happens so many times at the other end, there is an amazing thing waiting for you. And yet we allow something to stop us. Some tunnels, some obstacles just literally have to be crawled through. We have to go through them. For me, I would just run around. You know, it's easier. But it may take too long to run around. The second thing that Nehemiah faced was this obstacle of insufficiency. Listen, if there's one thing that we hear all the time, this is it. If there's one, people try to reason this away, and ultimately it just comes down to this, it's an excuse. We make excuses why we can't do something. Well, I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm not qualified. I don't know enough about that subject. Well, I'm not really sure. Stop making excuses, and it's time to get involved. Listen, all those may sound like good reasons, but they're just that. They are excuses. And it's time for you and us to jump in the race, to get in the game, and to get moving in life. I love how Kyle stated it in his book, and he also said it in the video. He said it this way, that one of the ways you know you are in the race, listen to this, one of the ways you know you're in the race is that you feel insufficient and unqualified. I don't know very many racers or runners that jump into a marathon or a 100-mile, especially the 100K type of race, and go, man, I got this. I'm shape. I'm ready to go. This is a piece of cake. But if you're really in the race, you already know that you're unqualified. You already know you're insufficient. You already know that you can't do it by yourself. You need the crowd cheering you along the way. You need other people sitting there helping you along the way. You need to know that God says, hey, with man this may be impossible, but with God all things are possible. And you and I must rely on God's strength to help carry us along the way. So what does Nehemiah do when he faces these first two things? When he comes through this indifference, when he faces insufficiency, he prays. He hasn't even done anything yet. He just has this burden on his heart, and he prays. And he prays, and he prays, and he prays. And in Nehemiah chapter 2, it's up on the screen. Nehemiah chapter 2, look at these words. And the king said to me, so he's now prayed for 4 months. And he comes before the king, and the king says, why is your face so sad, seeing that you're not sick? There is nothing but sadness of the heart. And Nehemiah says what? Then I was very much afraid, and I said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my face be sad when the city and the place of my father's grave lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire? So he pours out his heart and tells the king exactly what's on his heart, all these things that are happening, and then notice what happens. And I love what the king asks. What are you requesting? So I prayed to the God of heaven. He's praying, and he's praying, and he's praying, and all of a sudden, no response. 4 months later, there's a look on his face, and the king says, what do you want? What do you need? What do you need? And all of a sudden, the king's all in. He doesn't want to see his cupbearer whose heart is broken. He doesn't want to see this man who was faithful, this man who was going to give up so much in order to do something great for his own people. And he not only says, hey, go, he gives him his blessing, he gives him the funds, he gives him the material, and he gives him the guards to protect him along the way. And everything is laid ready for him. Everything is before him. What do you want? And all he had to do was ask. But I want you to notice that he prayed for 4 months. 4 months. It wasn't a one and done. It wasn't just this one day prayer. It was pray and pray and pray and pray. And I imagine this wasn't just a, you know, now I lay me down to sleep type prayer. He poured out his heart to God. And he turned his life over to him in that sense and said, God, whatever you want me to do, I will do. Please just answer. Now fast forward. Nehemiah is there. It's a long journey. Takes time. Guards are protecting him. He's there. He's starting. He feels like life's cruising through. And all of a sudden, he's jumped through the hoops that he needs to go through. Well, I've overcome this trouble. Well, I wasn't sure if I had any funds, whether I could do it. I'm not sure if really I'm sufficient, but all of a sudden, God felt like something was there, and all of a sudden, what's happening? God's laying the problems in the past. The obstacles are coming behind him, and all of a sudden, he faces one more obstacle. And all of a sudden, what he thinks he's doing right, the people there in Jerusalem, all of a sudden, are having an uproar. Why are you rebuilding the walls? What are you doing? You shouldn't be doing this. And he faces opposition. He faces opposition. I want you to think about that. Think about that for a minute, that the project's starting, all is going well, until all of a sudden some people have a fit. Local governments, man's name was Sanballat. A local leader wants to start to ridicule the Jews. He taunts them. He jeers them. He makes fun of them. You can't do it. You'll never get it done. It's too big a job. There's no way. Look at all the rubble. Kyle said in his book, Nehemiah wasn't facing opposition because he was doing something wrong. He was facing opposition because he was doing something right. Friends, when you and I are doing the right thing, we will face opposition. When we're sharing our faith and we're talking about Jesus and we're sharing that love with other people, we will face opposition. And so many times we're afraid and we want to stay right where it's comfort zone. We want to stay in those hoops. We want to say, hey, it's safe. I've overcome so much. I don't know that I can do anymore. I think it's time just to get out of the race. I'm done. I've had it. I can't go any farther. And God says, oh, yes, you can. And what does Nehemiah do? He pushes through. And there are times maybe when you start to rebuild your life, there are times when you start to rebuild and you try to overcome that people become selfish. I'll say it because there's not a lot of kids in the room today, but they become stupid. And I don't like that word. My wife would be mad at me for saying that word. She's a kindergarten teacher. Why? Because they don't want you to think about other people. They don't want you to do something that they're afraid to do. They don't want you to step outside of your comfort zone. They don't want you to go too far. They don't want you to rebuild that wall. Stop doing what God wants you to do. Stop it. So maybe there's a relationship that's broken in your life, and you're trying to renew it, and all of a sudden there's these walls that get in the way, and there's obstacles that seem to want to face you and knock you off. Maybe there's a friend that you want to work with that's trying to overcome an addiction, and other people are going, oh, you, there's no reason, don't help him out. People have tried to help him with that before, he'll never overcome. Guess what? What your friend needs is you to step up. What your friend needs is for you to endure. You talk about changing your priorities and your past. And other people are going, oh, I've seen that before. That'll last for a couple weeks, maybe a month. And all of a sudden, that prayer life will be gone. You can't do it. Maybe you've tried to everything you can do to get out of debt. Kyle mentions this. And all of a sudden, one big event happens, and it seems like you just can't crawl out any farther. And you just want to give up. Discouraging people make it hard to endure. They're there to pull us down over and over and over again. The naysayers make the race more difficult. No one wants to be running the race and have someone standing along the sideline going, you can't do it. No one wants that. And that's exactly what's happening to Nehemiah. And I encourage you to not be that naysayer, but to be an encourager. We are told in Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25, to let us consider how we may, what? Spur one another on, to encourage one another toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some of you are in the habit of doing, but what? To encourage one another, to be there, to support one another, to love one another, to pat one another on the back, to say you can do it. In other words, to tell them, don't give up. And normally, people respond to criticism and opposition in one of two ways. They either get discouraged or they get determined. You know that in your life. You get discouraged and down and you start to wallow. Or you get determined and say, there is nothing that's going to stand in my way. And Nehemiah's response was determination. Now, I know with my very tall stature, it's hard for you to believe this, but I know I've told you before, when I was in high school, and even my first year in college, I was a hurdler. No, I'm not going to jump the hurdle today because I don't trust myself that much anymore. But a hurdle is interesting because the longer that you run the race, it seems like the higher the hurdle becomes because your legs are tired. You've jumped, you've run. All of a sudden, you get to the fourth hurdle, the fifth hurdle, the sixth hurdle, the seventh hurdle, and all of a sudden, there's still one more in the way, and it's not that far from the finish line. And in order for you to finish, you have to finish the last hurdle. We were taught that there are many times if you can't go over the hurdle, go through the hurdle. And you may go, well, how do you do that? It's designed to exactly that. You put your foot in the middle, and guess what happens? Falls over. But you still have to jump. You jump to put all your weight because the left back leg has to come forward and snap through. If not, guess what hits you on the back? And you fall. And there are times, listen, that even though you feel like you've endured, even though you feel like you've tried everything that you can do to go over that hurdle, you have to just go through it. But then be careful because it's still trying to trip you up along the way. And opposition is like that. It's right there in your face. It's right there in your ears. It's right there in your mind. It's telling you, you can't do it. And God's saying, oh, yes, you can. And in the midst of any race, the object is, yes, to run as fast as you can. And one of the reasons that I love track, because I never felt like I was running against someone else. I was always running against myself. It wasn't about necessarily to always winning the race, but it was about being better than I was the time before, being faster than I was the last race, doing a little bit better. I knew there were always going to be people faster than me that were better than me, but I wanted to run faster each and every time. Folks, as we go through the race, so many times you and I just need to get through this obstacle. So many times the last obstacle there is the idea of it's moving too slow. It just can't keep up. Things started happening, and Nehemiah could have looked at the progress on the walls going, it's too slow. Opposition's happening. People are fighting them. They're literally working with a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. Why? Because people are attacking them. They're not sure if they're going to be attacked. They're not sure what's going to happen. And that it is going to happen. We are going to overcome. We are going to have this happen. And Nehemiah cries out to the people, and he tells them, let's just keep rebuilding. Many times, there's so many things going on, we just get caught up in the middle of it. Your kids are out of control. Your relationships are just too broken. The house is a lost cause. My debt is too great. I can't get myself out. And maybe we just want to give up, and we're tired, and we're weary, and I'm done. I'm just done. And Nehemiah doesn't candy coat it. He tells them, hey, we're trying to build a wall, and instead, guess what? We've hit one. Just keep building. Just keep going. And I don't know about you. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what you're afraid of, but it's time to wake up and to move through, over, around, jump the hurdles, jump the hoops and get through these obstacles so that we can move on. Fascinating enough, Nehemiah does all that through prayer. If you want to read a prayer journal, people say, I don't know how to prayer journal. Read through the book of Nehemiah. It is one of the most beautiful prayer journals you ever read. It's his conversation with God back and forth through prayer about how to overcome and how to survive. And he prays again and again and again. And when he is tired and when he is alone and when he is weary, he continues to tell the people in Nehemiah 4:20, our God will fight for us. In other words, it's not just about us. God's there. He's in the midst of us. He'll be there each and every day. What could you accomplish? What could you accomplish with God for you? I love in Nehemiah chapter 6, if you start to look through it, I encourage you, if you heard on the video, you would think if you read through this book, it took years and years and years and years to accomplish this task. It actually took them 52 days. It didn't seem like long. Nehemiah prayed twice, almost three times as long as that, as it took them to rebuild the wall. What could happen in your life if for 52 days you gave it to God in prayer? What could happen in your life if for 52 days you said, I don't care what gets in my way, I'm going through it. I don't care what gets in my way, I'm going over it. I don't care what obstacle stands in front of me, I am going to overcome. Because I've got friends around me to encourage me. I've got a God behind me and inside of me with the Holy Spirit that will lead me through. Because if not, we can just live in this lifestyle of discouragement. And discouragement can become a lifestyle. It can become a legacy. But when you and I keep building and you and I keep running and you and I keep jumping in the race over and over and over again every day and overcoming obstacles, God says, I got this. What does it say? Let us run with endurance. It was funny. We looked that up in our Sunday school class this morning. And I want you to think about this. Endurance is literally this in the Greek. It means let us run with cheerful hope. That's crazy to me. With cheerful hope. What would every race be like if we ran it with joy? What would every race be like when we overcome an obstacle that we can smile and we can be glad that God was there and that we overcame? That's what he wants us to do. That's what he wants you and I to do each and every day that we live. And I want to encourage you this morning. Maybe you have a decision to make for Christ for the first time. Maybe a decision to make right where you are to pray your head and say, God, I cannot make it through these obstacles without you. I need you, and I need to put my entire faith and my hope in you. I would encourage you to come. We're going to pray, we're going to stand, we're going to sing, that you would make that decision to know Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. Father, thank you. We read the story and we walk through the story of Nehemiah. We see all the obstacles that he overcame. But ultimately, Lord, we know the greatest obstacle that was overcome was the grave itself. And we know that there was victory in that because of Jesus' death on the cross. So, Lord, as we come and as we say, hey, I know that my whole faith is in Christ. I know that I believe in Jesus Christ. I know that's where I stand, Lord. It's because of that victory. It's because Jesus didn't quit halfway through the race. He didn't quit when obstacles and opposition faced him. He didn't quit when there were things in his way. He didn't quit when the Roman soldiers decided to beat him. He didn't quit. Lord, help us to be like him, to endure with cheerful hope and to move forward in life and to run the race with persistence, with perseverance, with endurance. Thank you for your word and the message of hope. In your name we